Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Small business owner, you're special among Americans. You are a latter-day pioneer of our society and truly one of America's heroes.
Welcome back, heroes. It's 13 After. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. It's toll-free, coast-to-coast, 1-888-822-8255. Give us a call if you'd like to talk to me or our special guest and our good friend, Ellen Frankenberg. Dr. Ellen Frankenberg is our guest this hour. She is a family psychologist, now specializing in consulting to families in business, especially in the areas of manufacturing, construction, distribution, retail, and service industries. She holds advanced credentials in her field, including a diploma granted by the American Board of Professional Psychologists, and she also holds the designation of approved supervisor for the American Association for Marriage and Family Therapy. She's a frequent speaker for professional groups such as Chambers of Commerce, Bar Associations, et cetera, et cetera. She is a columnist for Family Business Magazine. She's the author of the new book I'm holding in my hand, Your Family Incorporated, and she is our friend, Ellen. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks very much, Jim. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you back. And folks, I mentioned to you earlier in the hour that that Ellen was one of the first guests on my show. And in the meantime, I found the old records. And this show started on November the 17th, Monday, November 17th, 1997. We're coming up on 2 years in November. And Ellen, you were with me on the 18th. In those days...
We should have a birthday cake or something.
In those days, I didn't have a guest every hour.
Uh-huh.
I only had one guest a day. And you were my second guest ever to be on the show.
Well, good.
And so I think you should get maybe a Purple Heart or something like that. for service above and beyond, you had the courage to join me in my first week. And then, amazingly, folks, within a month or so, she came back.
Well, it's an honor. And I enjoy it.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Congratulations on your new book. I spent some time on it. It's great.
Well, thank you very much.
I'm glad you finally got around to finishing it.
Right. Well, several of the chapters had been articles, and then I put them together. But it's written for the typical entrepreneur who's been working hard to start a company, but hasn't really had much time to learn anything about family psychology. And there's a lot of research and information now about the best practices of family firms. And so the book is an attempt to translate that in a readable fashion.
Well, you know, Ellen, even before whether you have knowledge of this issue, of the psychological things that you need to do to solve these family problems in your business, you might not even know that that's what's wrong.
Exactly.
See, that's even prior to the knowledge of how to fix it.
Exactly. You may just know that people aren't talking to each other.
Yeah.
They come and, pull up to the desk, but there's no banter, there's no relaxation. Or you might know that you go to the birthday party and everybody talks business because they really don't have anything to say beyond the business. They can't just be family together and have a good time. Focusing on the business.
Let's go back and just talk about something that I mentioned in the first segment, but just before you came on, Ellen, and that was that being a small business owner is fraught with unimaginable to some people frustrations and anxieties and fears and stark terror sometimes and just a lot of stuff. That there's an awful lot of good stuff too, but there's a lot of stuff that really wears you out and wears you down, and that doesn't have anything to do with whether you have family involved in your business.
Right.
And then you mix into that cauldron of different scenarios. You mix into that the baggage that every single one of us bring to the family situation. Even the most functional families have their own baggage, don't they?
Right. You know, one of the first chapter in the book is called The Geometry of a Healthy Family.
I like that terminology.
And I don't know if any of your listeners can remember their high school geometry, but there's one rule in geometry that's really important when you're trying to have a healthy family in a business, and that is an guesses? The shortest distance between two points is a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that in a healthy family, any two people who have a conflict or a difference between them can settle it eyeball to eyeball. They can settle it directly. And when a third party gets in the middle, the go-between, especially us helping types, you know, sometimes we want to get in the middle of that stuff,
mm-hmm.
Then things get complicated. And so one of the things to look out for in your family is the triangle. You know, are you caught in a triangle? And it's so easy, you know. You just go talk to Jason because he's not mad at you right now, and maybe that will help Betty get over whatever is bothering her.
Well, what happens is you as the observer, you see the straight line that needs to be drawn.
Right.
But the other two parties don't.
And you're trying
to help them get to that straight line.
They're so used to being caught and getting in and out of other people's relationships, they believe it's normal.
Mm-hmm.
When we grow up in a family, the way people communicate, the way they solve problems, the way they show affection, all that is just like the oxygen we breathe. We
yep.
think that's the way others solve problems, and that's not true. There are lots of ways for people to communicate more effectively and to enrich their relationships, not only their bottom line.
Absolutely. Well, you know, typically a family, when people deal with each other in the family setting, the concept of professionalism is not part of that. But when you're in the business setting, you've got to blend in the professionalism.
Right, right. But there are ways, and these are just simple concepts, you know, that idea of any two people communicating directly is healthier than the confusion. But people who are at work every day can learn a few concepts. They can learn new ways of solving problems, and the business gets better, too.
There's no tension. If I'm about to be caught in a triangle,
yeah.
How do I recognize that?
Well, if there are two other people in the process and I'm in the middle of somebody else's relationship, then I need to recognize that. And if there's no blood on the floor, I mean, sometimes the people are really in a terrible fight. Somebody has to intervene. But most of the time, there's no blood on the floor, and you can stay out and let them settle it in the best way they can.
Right. All right, we're going to talk a little bit more. I want Ellen to answer a couple more questions on how to recognize if you're in a triangle. And then we're going to talk about something she calls your family's norms. It's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Dr. Ellen Frankenberg is our guest and our good friend. We will be right back, 888-822-8255. We're back. It's 24 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is our good friend, Dr. Ellen Frankenberg. She's the author of Your Family Inc. Your Family Inc. And Ellen, I'd like you to tell our audience where they can get your book.
Well, they could get it from the Hayworth Press. That's on a website, www.hayworth.com, or they could call me. 513-729-1511, and I would be sure to get it back to them.
Okay, sounds good. And we'll give you an opportunity to give that number out and that website out again later in the hour. Check this out, folks. If you have a small business and there's family involved, and even if things are going okay, you need to be taking a look at this book just so that you can make sure that you don't get into problems. And we were talking about the triangle when we took a break, Ellen, and you know, there are triangles at work that are not family related.
Right.
Two employees who just seem to be not getting along or whatever. And that's a different dynamic than the one where the triangle involves at least two family members.
Well, certainly in the workplace, the goal is to get the job done. So if there is a conflict between two employees there and it's causing disruption, then certainly the supervisor or the boss may need to intervene and reorganize the workplace or create another focus for those two individuals. And I think that's proper and appropriate. But I'm talking about intervening on the personal side,
mm-hmm.
you know, and trying to be go-between, because the go-between who's trying to help things can prevent the two people involved from ever solving their problem. It can go on for years, them really not speaking directly to each other.
But when two people are not related, and they're having a problem, typically it's something that's just a fairly recent situation. Maybe these people haven't known each other that long, 5 or 6 months or whatever, and there's a situation that's come up that they disagree on. Well, that's something that most people can kind of handle through just logic and through just the way they know how to deal with
right.
people. But when you start talking about getting involved in a triangle with two family members, maybe one of them is the owner and their son, or the husband and the wife, or the brother and the sister, or whatever, some of this stuff that you're going to have to deal with if you decide to get into a triangle, some of this stuff goes all the way back.
When there is a great deal of emotion, a great deal of anger or intensity in a present-day relationship, then usually there is a historical root of that. It means that somewhere back when something happened, and part of my work as I work with business families is to bring the family together. So we really do create a family meeting, a family retreat, in which we have the time to look at the history of the family and see where things got off the track in a positive environment, and help people sort out if there was a tragedy or a deep misunderstanding in the past that's still festering
mm-hmm.
every day in the workplace. And that's my work, to help people sort that out when it's more than the average conflict, when it's not something that can be solved. But sometimes people avoid conflict, and conflict or even anger can be a source of energy. If somebody's doing something that isn't right, that isn't legal, that isn't fair, and you're angry about it, by golly, you want to change it. And so, and resolving a conflict, having a healthy disagreement, can bring people closer, because they each kind of have to dig down and say, well, is this a fundamental issue that I want to fight about? Is this something that really needs to be settled? And if you can work it out and listen to each other and find common ground, then your relationship is going to be closer.
Well, you were talking about, you made the comment a minute ago that sometimes it's not aggressiveness, and it's not something that's that overt, or I've forgotten exactly how you put it, but it was something along those lines. Passive aggressiveness can be a very frustrating thing to deal with, and that's how it manifests. That's how my anger at you, or my unhappiness with you as a sibling or a family member, sometimes a person might react with what I've come to know as passive aggressiveness.
Yeah, well, and that's what a strike is. I mean, a lot of business owners would dread a strike by the workers and do everything they can to avoid that within reason. So, and that's passive aggressive behavior. It's a very powerful thing to do, is to quit working or to quit talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think emotional cutoffs work. I don't think it works to go on strike in a relationship, because nothing gets settled. It just goes underground.
Well, see, to me, that's where you should be saying to yourself, okay, I'm unhappy about this, and it'd be my nature to just sort of squat and not do anything and strike, as you say, but I am a professional, and I'm going to rise above this, and I'm going to get the job done.
Right.
That's one of the things you can do, you can say to yourself. Ellen, stand by. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 29 after. I'll be right back with Dr. Ellen Frankenberg, the author of Your Family, Inc. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We are back. Thank you for joining us.
Okay.
It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you have a family situation that you would like to talk about, if you've got something that's concerning you, something that's bothering you, you have something that you don't know what to do with it, you don't even know what it is maybe, you just would like to ask a question and maybe get a little bit of advice, I have one of the experts with us right now. Her name is Dr. Ellen Frankenberg. She's our guest this hour and our good friend. She's the author of Your Family Incorporated. And Ellen, tell us where this book is available again, please.
This book is available through Haworth Press, www.haworth, H-A-W-O-R-T-H, Press, PRESSINC.com, or they could call me 513-729-1511, or email. My email is bizfamily, BIZ family 1, the numeral 1, bizfamily 1 at AOL.com, and I will return your email.
Okay, thank you, Ellen. Ellen, let's talk about something you call naming your family's norms. What is a family norm?
Well, we all have these kind of unspoken rules that develop over hundreds and thousands of mealtimes and bedtimes and jokes and sorrows. The way we talk to each other becomes, again, like the oxygen we breathe. We just think this is normal. And all families don't have the same norms, the same unspoken rules. And the way to find out the norms in a family is to marry into one. And you find out at the party before the wedding that, you know, if you're somebody who likes to hug everybody and this is not a family of huggers, they're going to look at you like you're kind of strange.
Yeah.
Or if you don't hug in some families, they're going to think, what's wrong? You're cold.
Yeah.
You're standoffish. But they don't tell you these rules ahead of time. And if you're doing business with a family business, and you're trying to sell them a product or a concept, and all of a sudden nothing happens, and you can't figure out what went wrong. Maybe you told a joke in a way that the family disapproved. Maybe the decision maker never was in the room. Maybe grandma is the decision maker,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she still holds all the controlling stock. Sometimes
I've seen that before, by the way.
Yeah, there are these unspoken rules, and they're very powerful. And in families, lots of times these norms or rules are encapsulated, are encompassed within a family saying. And one of the things I like to do when I gather the family for meetings, or what I call a family forum, where the family comes together to talk about the way they will participate in the business, I ask them for their family sayings. And I don't know if your audience has any, Jim, or if you have any, Jim, but like one of my favorites is, never say whoa in a horse race or a mud hole. And the family that has that saying in its history, they are persistent.
Yeah.
You know, they do not give up, maybe even sometimes when they should give up and call it a day. Never say whoa in a horse race or a mud hole. That has shaped the way their company operates.
One of the things that I tell my children whenever they're faced with some kind of a you know, a task that maybe seems insurmountable, or they're really, you know, talking to me about something they got on their mind, and you know, they always hear me say, it's no hill for a climber, and you're a climber.
That's a great one. It's
yeah.
No hill for a climber.
Anybody out there got any sayings, any family sayings? If you have, give us a call, 888-822-8255. We'd like to hear some of them. And you know, Ellen, you were talking about norms, and I don't mean to, I like your word,
uh-huh.
and that's an appropriate word, especially for the profession you're in. Another word that I like to, and you tell me if you think I'm accurate or not here, the term that I use is the culture.
Yeah.
Every business has its own culture.
Yeah. And that fits, but there are many norms within a culture.
Okay.
And norm is simply a short form of normal. What we consider normal is, you know, never say whoa means, by golly, you're going to work 49 hours a day
mm-hmm.
to get the job done, even though six other people would say, we can't do this. You know, that's a norm. That means that I think it's normal to work 48 hours a day
right.
if the job isn't completed. And other people would say, you're nuts. But I think, and if I'm going to change a norm, you know, sometimes family businesses really do become a breeding ground for workaholics. They just don't have another life except the business.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that needs to be challenged. And somebody who changes that norm is going to feel it in their stomach. They're going to say, well, I know, according to my doctor's orders, that I can only work 60 hours a week, not 80, and I've got to cool it. Well, they may feel guilty
mm-hmm.
because they changed the norm. But sometimes you need to change those norms.
Well, how do you deal with when you find yourself being hired into a situation like that, or maybe you're a family member and you're coming into this, but you've been somewhere else, you've worked other places, and you've come back, and all of a sudden you realize that this your family has these norms that you didn't even know because you basically grew up in them. How do you deal with those?
I think you can always talk about what you observe. That's the way to confront a person with whom you disagree. You say, you know, I noticed, Dad, that you were at the office till 10 o'clock last night, and I was worried about you.
Mm-hmm.
You describe what you observe, and you name your own feelings.
Good idea.
Could we agree on what would be a healthy work week around?
Ellen, stand by. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 39 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Dr. Ellen Frankenberg is our guest and our good friend. She's the author of Your Family, Inc. Stay with us. We'll be right back. 888-822-8255. We are back. It's 44 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you'd like to talk to me or my special guest and my good friend, Dr. Ellen Frankenberg, she's the author of Your Family, Inc., and it's an outstanding book on how to identify and deal with the situations that you find yourself in when there's family involved in your small business. And one more thing I want to talk about in this chapter that we're on right now, Ellen, and that is something that you call the ghosts.
Right.
And dealing with the ghosts.
Sometimes we've talked about family triangles can get set up with Grandpa, who died in 1972. In other words, Grandpa had very high standards, and he expressed those in family sayings. And
we have a tradition in this company.
Right. A common one would be, don't go into capital.
Yeah.
You know, don't go into debt. And you can hear that ringing in your ears, how many times Grandpa said it. But now you might have to retool with new technology, or you may be developing an international market, and
mm-hmm.
that's going to take a big investment. A lot of family firms, according to the Arthur Anderson data, are so adverse, so opposed to risk, that sometimes they're undercapitalized because Grandpa said, don't go into debt. And sometimes you've got to listen to that voice of Grandpa,
mm-hmm.
and in the light of your own experience and the marketplace that Grandpa never knew, you've got to make a different decision. And you've got to say, hey, we've got to take this risk.
Things are different now.
In order to grow the company, even though Grandpa would have been much more conservative. So sometimes we're in a triangle with the ghost. It's not just you and your the manager of your factory who's talking. Grandpa feels like he's in the room because you keep hearing his voice saying, don't go into capital, don't go into debt.
He's speaking to you from the grave.
That's right.
He's managing your company from the grave. One of the best stories that I've ever heard about that helps me deal with something like that, it's kind of a funny story, and you may have heard me say this before. I know I've said it on the show before, and that is, the little girl who was watching her mother cook a ham,
uh-huh.
and the mother took the ham out and she cut the shank end off of the ham. She cut about 3 inches off of it and put it in a pan and started cooking it. And the little girl was about 9, 10 years old. She says, "Mom, why did you do that?" And she said, "Well, that's the way my mother taught me to cook a ham."
Uh-huh.
And so she said, "Well, why is that?" And she said, "I don't know. Let's call her." So the little girl calls grandmother, and grandmother said, "Well, the reason that I did that was because that's the way my mother taught me to cook a ham." And so they called great grandmother, and they said, "Great grandmother, why did you cut the end of the ham off before you cooked it?" She said, "Because I never had a pan big enough to cook a whole ham."
That's a perfect story.
And so that's what you've got. Things are different now.
That's what I'm talking about. Sometimes
yeah.
you have to go back in the history a little bit and figure out how come we did things that way. And maybe it no longer suits the present situation.
Right.
And the company could die if it doesn't change. The business has got to change.
Yeah.
And Grandpa deserves the proper place in your memory, but he can't run the company in 1999.
And if you are a grandpa, and there are some of you out there listening, one of the best legacies that you could give your family, who you've handed your business down to, this business you've grown, is to help them realize that, guys, look, the way I ran it back then, it was one way, but things are different today, and you have to do what you got to do.
Right, and the folks on the job today need to do a different kind of homework, and they need to get different kinds of information. They even need to get on the web, right?
Exactly. No kidding.
Grandpa didn't know about the web.
Let's move into the next chapter.
Okay.
It's where you talk about wearing different hats.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a key, because a lot of business owners get all mixed up in the emotional spaghetti between is this a family issue or is this a business issue? And sometimes they get all tangled up, and people can't sort them out. So one of the things that the number one recommendation I usually give is, know when you're wearing your business hat and you're making a decision because you're the CEO of a company that needs to meet the payroll and you've got a lot of other families depending on you, and when are you making a decision as a family member because you love your sons and your daughters and your wife and your nephews or whoever is working there. And you know, that's the number one thing. I know of a company where the son was goofing off, and the dad had to fire him. You know, he was showing up late every day, and it was hurting the morale of the whole workforce.
Yeah.
And so the dad sat him down one Friday afternoon, and he said, "Son, this isn't working out. I've warned you. I've told you that you need to show up and do your job, and we're going to have to let you go." So he fired his son.
That was hard to do.
Wearing the business hat. And then he said to him, "But why don't you come over Sunday afternoon, and we'll have a cookout, and you and I can talk about what you plan to do with the rest of your life."
Mm-hmm.
And that's putting on the father hat and saying, "I still want a relationship with you as a father.
I still love you.
But I don't think this is the place for you to work."
What did Mom say about that?
That's the triangle.
Yeah. I knew there was one in there. See, folks, I pay attention here. I knew there was one coming.
And so the business decision needs to be made without Mom in the middle.
Yeah.
The business decision. Dad, the CEO, who's observed the performance, who knows the needs of the company.
Now, this is not to say, folks, that Mom might have been the one to do the firing. This is not. We're not making a sexist comment here. Lord knows Ellen would never do that, because it might be the other way around. But typically, if whoever makes the decision, there's another person in the family who might think that you were being too hard.
Well, and Mom will be out on the deck when the Sunday afternoon cookout happens, and she's a part of the love and care for the son.
Absolutely.
And family.
Stand by, Ellen. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 50 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Dr. Ellen Frankenberg, the author of Your Family, Inc. We are back at 54 after. Thank you for joining us. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for checking that out, and I appreciate all the email that you send me, ask questions and make comments, the nice things that you say about me and the show. Thank you very much for that. If you would like to have a copy of Ellen's book, Ellen Frankenberg is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She's the author of Your Family, Inc. This book is brand spanking new. I've got it in advanced copy, maybe only the second one that anybody else has ever had. It's brand spanking new. It's the publisher has them, by the way, but they're going to be available soon in your bookstores and on the internet.
And also, Jim, they could contact me at my email site, which is bizfamily1, BIZFAMILY, numeral 1, at AOL.com, and I'll be sure they get one.
Absolutely. Or, folks, if you forget any of that, you know how to contact me. Let me know. A lot of people do that. They email me and say, you know, how do I get that book that you were talking about? And I assure you, I will pass that along, and I will be glad to do that. And I want to remind you quickly that Beverly Williams is going to be our next guest, and she's going to be talking to us about home-based business issues. And Joan Pride, senior editor of the Kiplinger Letters, is going to be with us for our weekly visit. That's all coming up for you in the future. Ellen, let's talk about something that you call the four characteristics, I should say, of family businesses.
Well, families, as you know, have their own set of rules or norms. And the number one... For one, rules is that families prefer privacy. They don't want other people to know their internal family squabbles. And so sometimes, to their own disaster, they don't tell people when there are family conflicts undermining the business.
That's dirty. That's our dirty laundry. We're not going to air that.
Right. And the last thing family business owners really ever tell is how much money they've got. They don't like people to know that. And that has its value. That's a good value in many, many ways. But if there are family problems that you can't handle, maybe it's time to call in the reserves to get some extra help who will respect your confidentiality in a professional way and help you find a new approach.
People who work in a confidential world. That's all part of their profession, which is what you do, Ellen. And by the way, I would like for you to give your phone number out in case anybody out there would like to contact you about doing business with you.
My phone number is 513. I'm in Cincinnati. 513-729-1511.
But even though they may not be near you, they can work with you in a virtual way. I mean, I'm sure you've got clients that you work with over the phone, over the internet.
I do, yes. Yeah. And the book, you know, the book is written to be very practical. The subtitle is Practical Tips for Building a Healthy Family Business. So there's a lot of material in here we could discuss.
One of the other characteristics that you talk about are emotional bonds.
Right. But in the family... the family members, even if they come into the family by marriage or adoption, over time they develop very strong connections, even if they don't have the same DNA. And by golly, you know, those will persist through decades. The family also, I think, makes decisions on the basis of acceptance. I mean, I hope that even if you missed the final shot at the buzzer in the state basketball tournament, that you could still come home again. You know, that your family will accept you, even if you make a mistake, and that especially if you clean up your act and keep working at it, that the family will accept you, and that families also value tradition. They really want to have the same recipe in the stuffing for the turkey every Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
And don't mess with that.
Ellen, that's got to be the last word. We've got to wrap it up for this hour. You did a great job, as always. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you soon.
Okay, Jim.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ellen Frankenberg, the author of Your Family, Inc. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember these 10 two-letter words. If it is to be, it is up to me. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.